if you are married and finances are a strain in your marriage and you're not talking about it, or when you do talk about it, it's stressful and frustrating and there's lots of emotions, how healthy do you think your actual physical intimacy is going to be with your partner?
We all need a little inspiration to get through the lows and the highs of life. I've found the best place to do that is in the great outdoors, fishing, long walks, and even hunting. Yes, I know, that last one likely shocked you a bit, didn't it? But truly, without adventuring and getting outside of my circumstances and the hole I found myself in during difficult seasons of my life, I wouldn't be here today to journey with you into hope. After experiencing the loss of my spouse, I needed more than just inspiration. I needed to find the source of inspiration, God's way. My name is Marissa Snyder. I'll be your PH, like the role of an African safari personal hunter guide would be. Remember, I told you I'm a hunter. I'll guide you into biblical truths with life-changing testimonies and expert tips for strategies to discover your identity as you live out God's calling for your life and experience the fullness of living an inspired life, God's way. Thank you so much for joining us today on Be Inspired God's Way. I have a special guest today. I kind of am going a little bit different this time. We normally are talking about loss and so forth, and we're still going to touch points on that, but I'm bringing in an expert in finance to kind of help bring delve deeper into the conversation of when you have a loss, how you can help financially. So thank you so much, Dr. Rochelle, for being here with us today.
You're welcome. It is my absolute pleasure. I can't talk about finances enough.
Well, I met you at the FounderCon conference, and I had already started following you before that, and I just really was intrigued whenever you got to share your story there, and just being able to recognize people's past and how that really truly has an impact on where they end up in their future. And so I wanted you to touch base on your past and how you grew up and where you are today, so that our guests can kind of really understand that no matter what you're going through, that the outcomes of being able to set goals and accomplish those goals is really important.
Yeah. So, first off, I just want to say that it does my heart good to hear that somebody was like touched by what I said, because sometimes I'm like, people don't always get it, right? Like we all go through things, but when I share my story and it actually resonates with somebody, I'm like, yes, yeah, somebody gets it. And when that happens, I know that that's going to touch somebody else's life as well. So trying to think of like where to start here, because there's so many pieces. So I actually grew up kind of with not a lot. I was originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and when I was 10, my mom moved us to Ohio. And it was in like a low income area, wasn't the greatest. So essentially grew up with, you know, barely making ends meet, right? It was one of those situations where she made too much money to get assistance, but not enough money to live off of. Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
I actually remember, I tell people this all the time, I actually remember my first pair of name brand shoes. I was in seventh grade, and they were a pair of black and white Filas, or black and gold Filas.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you remember that brand. Most people don't talk about them anymore. The only reason we got them is because they were on sale for $30, and my mom's friend paid for half of it. So my mom only paid $15 for the pair of shoes. First off, being on sale for $30, what?
What? Yeah, I know, right?
Anxiety, like, what in the world? So little things like that. Even though I was the oldest girl, I still didn't get new clothes. I got hand-me-downs from my mom's friends who had daughters who were older than me. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So I share all that to say, like, it was this, my entire childhood was a, we can't afford this mentality. We had bills that were, or excuse me, utilities that were shut off multiple times. And it just, it was a struggle. And we didn't talk about money. We always knew that we didn't have enough money, but we didn't talk about money other than we can't afford that. And so as I got older and I started working, I got into this habit of spending all my money that I made. And I didn't know how to manage my money either. I just always thought money's going to keep coming somehow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, eventually that spiraled into a situation where I had bought a house. I was, by this time, I was in the military. I was close to getting out of the military and I had bought a house. I was 29 years old. Mm-hmm. And I bought at the top of my budget from being in the military.
Yeah.
Got out a couple months later and didn't get a good enough job. I actually had to go and do temp work until I got hired onto that company and ended up getting hired in making about $35,000 a year, which is not a lot when you have a house and you're trying to pay your bills. Right? So essentially, I actually say that I walked into a financial pit because it really was my actions, although I didn't know any better. I had to go through a short sale process.
Okay.
To avoid foreclosure and bankruptcy. I ended up having to go to a food bank to be able to get some kind of food because it still wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And I moved into an income-based apartment for, I think I was there about 2 years before I was able to actually get into another type of apartment that wasn't income-based. And in that 2 years, while I was in that apartment, I was just essentially trying to figure out how do I get myself out of where I'm at now and how do I make sure that I'm never back in this place again. Mm-hmm. And that's where I learned a lot of things about myself, about how I was managing money, how I viewed money, mm-hmm. why I did these things, and how to overcome that, as well as getting things paid off and building savings and just being able to recover. And so once I did that, I started talking about it to everybody. Not everybody, but like I was posting on social media, I was telling my friends what was going on, and they saw me recovering and started asking questions like, well, how are you doing this? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And so some people actually asked me to sit down and help them.
That's funny.
And I did that. And then people started asking me why I wasn't doing this as a business. And I was like, I never thought about doing it as a business before. I just was helping myself and you asked for help too. So yeah. There you go. And about 5 years ago, I was invited to sit down at the table with Tamara when she was launching her business, her current business. Yeah. And that literally was the birthing of like this idea in my mind that maybe I can make this a business. And so we've progressed over the last 5 years pretty far, but
That's amazing. That it's amazing that you were able to, that even though the struggle was there, but I grew up with four sisters. So my parents, you know, had the same types of struggles and we too didn't discuss it. We just felt like that was normal. You know, this was our normal. This is the way we were. This is, you know, when my mom and dad said we can't afford that, that was just like everyone else around us was the same way. Right. And so, going into like, I'll always remember what, like you, we had, jeans. There was a special pair of jeans and we had to share those pair of jeans between all four of us. And we were like 1 year apart from each other. It's like, no, I'm going to wear them today. And, you know, so it was just that not even recognizing it until we're adults, how much that my parents kind of really, set the stage for us to not recognize that and not feel like we were burdening, you know, a burden or anything like that as we were growing up. So yes, thank you for sharing that because I know sometimes it's really hard to be able to to look back and to recognize that. And I know that a lot of times, I don't know, I've never really asked my parents, but to think of it as like, were they shameful that they didn't have what other people had, you know? And so, and I never even looked at it like that. I just, you know, always wondered about that. So as we transition and I look at, you know, people through loss. So when I lost my husband, and during the time that he was going through cancer, we ended up having to let go of our home because we were both not working. I was staying home with him when he was going through his treatments, and we lost our two cars. And I know financially there was just no way. We had no choice but to do that in order to be able to pay other things, you know, bills. I had a daughter, and you know, we had to still put food on the table. So as you go mm-hmm. through a loss, you end up having to go, I mean, whether it's a divorce or a loss of a spouse or, you know, a loss of a job, all of those components make you have to get to that point where you have to stop and think, what am I going to do now? What, you know, who am I? What is my identity? What am I going to do to be able to financially help that? So you're going from a two income family to a one income family. You're a single parent. You have to change your lifestyle. How can people look at that? Because that could be so overwhelming, right? You can stop and think about, you know, this is too much for me to handle. How do they break it down so they don't already feel defeated when they just stop to glance at where they're at in their life?
So I'm going to kind of go slightly, not different direction, but okay. Lane something first that I think will tie into this. So okay. When I was in the place where I was like, okay, the short sighted in progress, you know, this hurts, it's frustrating. And I realized that I had to go to the food bank because even though I just didn't have enough. And in order for me to be able to eat, I needed to supplement that somehow. And so it was like the food bank was the best option to be able to do that. And I only went, like, I think it was once a month for mm-hmm. about, you know, 6 to 9 months. Mm-hmm. But the first time that I walked in there feeling completely defeated, feeling like I don't understand. Like I was reflecting back on over the years, you were talking about, you know, parents and the way that they, you know, do things and why don't they talk about things and this and that or whatever. I actually watched my mother lose 3 houses growing up. And when I bought my house, I vowed that I would never be my mother. I did not want to repeat her mistakes. Not that and don't get me wrong, I love my mother, but I didn't want to repeat those mistakes. I didn't want to feel that pain. I didn't want to go through that turmoil. And I thought that I had made better choices. And so when I walked into the food bank that day, that first day, I was sitting there. I was the only person in the lobby because it was the end of like the day for them. Mm-hmm. And I started crying and I just started praying. And I was like, Lord, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I actually said to him, Lord, I'm a good person. Why is this happening to me? And this is where I think this is step one when we're faced with a situation that we're like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. We have to do this kind of like evaluation to figure out how did we get here? Yeah. Right? First off, it's okay to ask God why. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it is. It's okay to ask God why. What God revealed to me specifically was that I was part of the reason. Granted, I didn't really know any better, but it was my actions in that scenario that led me to that place. Now, that's not the case for everybody. Yeah. Sometimes it's just life happening, like in your scenario. There was nothing that your husband could have done mm-hmm. to not get cancer, you know, right? Yeah. So that's start number one. If it was something that realizing that, you know, okay, maybe there was some things that I did that contributed to this, mm-hmm. then it's the thought process of, okay, Lord, help me understand how I can do better so that I can get out of this situation and not end up back here, which was the scenario that I walked through, right? I believe in the other case where it's something that was beyond your control, that's a situation, again, you got to lean on God and ask God, like, okay, Lord, like, this is completely unexpected. Think about Job. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, multiple things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Multiple things happened to him one after another. And it wasn't his fault. But what did he do? He leaned on God over and over and over and over and over. And even in my case, that's what I, despite, you know, yes, there were some things I needed to work on, but I also leaned on God over and over and over and over and over. There were some friends that I had to lean on as well. There's a vulnerability piece where you have to be like, okay, we as people, and I'm not going to say women, men, whatever, like we're all prideful. And I don't mean it as a negative. Like, we are very kind of like, no, I'm independent, or no, I'm strong. I can figure this out. I got this.
Yeah.
And while that may be true in general, we were meant to lean on each other.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're not meant to go through things alone.
Yeah. And it's interesting. It's nice to know, because there's so many times where I felt, oh my goodness, I'm going through this alone and I don't want to share it with anyone. And then God just places that one person right there. Right. And then you're like, okay. Yeah. And then you just, and it's not that, and I remember feeling like an instant peace when those people were placed right there when I needed them, because I didn't have to really almost ask, that God just knew that I needed, even though I was asking internally and maybe not verbalizing it, that God still provided, because he knew that I needed that person there, those people there to support me. So that's one point. And I love that that needs to be the first step. The recognition, always, right? And even if you are going through it, even if someone has gone through a divorce, that recognition of this is where I'm at, and just being able to stop and look at the big picture from that point and not, you know, and recognize this is where I'm at. What do I need to take? What do I need to do? You know, God, help me lean on God, build that strong relationship, have that faith and trust that he's going to provide. And then being able to take that next step of, okay, I'm not going to feel defeated. I'm not going to feel shameful. I'm just going to take action steps. And those action steps are what's crucial, like setting goals and creating new habits. So I've never ever set a New Year's resolution, because then to me, I feel like it's only for a short period of time. And so I like to say that I call them my new me habits, because if I'm telling myself I'm creating a new habit and starting a new, you know, like a new trend for what I'm needing to do, then at least I'm aspiring to make it a goal. Like, I want to accomplish something, and not, it's not going to just stop there. It's a new habit that I'm creating and instilling in my life. So I know who I like, well, it is, I guess, my New Year's resolution, but it's not a New Year's resolution. It's just a new me habit.
Right.
So as we go through this, you know, transitioning from, like, everyone's like Christmas shopping right now, and everyone's going to start creating New Year's resolutions, What kind of strategies can people set for themselves to have that mind shift of it being not a resolution that's going to take place just for a short period of time and then you're going to be done with it, but the mindset of, let's create, you know, goals and create habits for ourselves. So what are some strategies that people can do in order to do that? But so they've already met their, you know, recognized it. They're leaning on God, trusting that he's going to provide. But what are some healthy habits for someone that is at that point now where they're ready to take the action steps?
So I think you kind of explained it a little bit, actually. So number one, it's that mindset piece, right? You can, there's so much you can research and Google. And yes, I know that Google is not always 100% accurate, but there's a lot of,
but you know, you people actually are gonna go there, right?
Exactly. You know what? Hey, if you want to research anything and you want to know more solidified versus just Google said, Google go on to Google and type in Google Scholar and then search for what you're looking for when it comes to things like this, because you're going to see actual peer-reviewed articles. Some of them are accessible and some of them are not. But that mindset piece of the resolution versus the habit, you're absolutely correct. A resolution is a thought process or decision that I want to do X because of Y.
Yes.
Right? That's the idea.
Yeah.
In essence, that's the vision, right?
Yes.
But you can't accomplish the vision without the plan.
Yeah.
How do you get to the plan? You set a goal.
Yeah.
And then you write down, how am I going to accomplish this goal, right? Mm-hmm. So in order to actually achieve goals, not only do you have to write down the plan, you have to take action. And a lot of times that requires forming new habits. Habit building is how you accomplish your goals, right? So there's so many directions that I could go in this conversation, but let's say somebody realizes, okay, this is the situation, this is where I'm at right now, and maybe, you know, life happened to me and there wasn't really a whole lot I could do about it, but, you know, I'm gonna make this statement. This is what helps me a lot sometimes. When I went through a big healing journey from some other things about a decade ago, I read this book. It's called Life's Healing Journey.
Okay.
Freedom from Your Hurts, Hangups, and Habits. Or excuse me, Life's Healing Choices. Freedom from Your Hurts, Hangups, and Habits. And it's by John Baker.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that?
I have not. No. So I'm going to be looking that up.
Okay. Yes. It's so, so good. But they have a statement in there where they say, you cannot change how, or you cannot control how people treat you or what they say and do to you, mm-hmm. but you can change how you respond to it. I believe the same is so in life. When something happens to you, you may not be able to change it, but you can change how you respond to it. Or even if there's something that I've done that landed me into a situation, I can't change the past, but I can change how I respond to it in the future. Right? So exactly. So that's kind of like, you know, that number one, realizing, all right, this is what we need to do. We need to make a change, which maybe they've already done that. So then how do we move forward? I go back to Habakkuk 2:2, which says write the vision and make it plain.
Yeah.
And essentially is literally writing it down. Like, I know that we know a lot of things. I know we remember a lot of things, and we're all very, very smart. But when things are not written down, they're back here.
Yeah.
We're not thinking about it. When they're right out in front of our face and we're seeing it all the time, mm-hmm. we're thinking about it more, which means that we can be more active in pursuing that thing. So that's the benefit of writing stuff down.
So let's say
somebody, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I love that. I journal. And so I always go back to like reading my journals and I'm like, oh, I didn't remember putting that thought down, you know? So it's just mm-hmm. almost like a remembrance, because we do, we put it there and then we just kind of sometimes have a tendency of forgetting about it, even though it was a great thought and we have good intentions. If we don't write it down, even if we do write it down, that can trigger, you know, a remembrance of it. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yep. No, that's good. But let's say that somebody is like, okay, you know, this situation happened and it put me, you know, made me feel very defeated. And, you know, I feel like you know, I'm not ever getting out of this situation, but I want to try to get out of this situation. And I want to, you know, I want to change how I view it so that I can help myself get out of this situation. So implementing, all right, what kind of things can I do to help that process? One, being vulnerable and being willing to talk with somebody else about how you're feeling and what you're going through, somebody that's trusted, that, you know, isn't going to be judgmental, will actually listen to you. And maybe it's one of those things where sometimes you just need to be able to get out what you're feeling and you just need them to listen and not respond. Be honest if that's what you need. Yeah. Right?
Preference,
but then also, exactly, because we don't do that enough. Listening to motivational content, go on YouTube and literally look for motivational content related to the area that you feel like you need, even if it's just 5 minutes a day, journaling, reading your Bible, things like that. But decide for yourself, how much time can I spend each day working on this area realistically? If it's 20 minutes, then set aside 20 minutes every day. Put it on your calendar. Put it on your calendar. 20 minutes every day for, you know, self-motivation or whatever it is, right? And in those 20 minutes every day, find a specific thing that you want to focus on for that day, whether it's shifting your mindset, helping to understand something so that way, you know how to approach it in the future. You know, there's so many things. There's really so many things, but I like that I'm kind of going on a tangent here.
Yeah. Well, I like that you say set the time, because so we live by our calendars so many times, because that's, mm-hmm. that's what drives our day. And so setting the time allows us to be able to block off a time of our, you know, during the day to be able to research that. And then you said, research it. So if you're struggling with something, research it. You have that time that you've blocked off, research it. What do you think that you yep. need? And then that way you're creating yourself a tool, like almost like a toolbox of resources that you can go back to if you need it later on. So I love that. That's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I want to shift gears a little bit. And I know that you have an amazing podcast, Bedroom Talk. And I want you to kind of share, what do you talk about? What do you share on there so that my guests could kind of look at it and say, well, I want to be able to go in and listen and maybe pick some things that you kind of share on your podcast.
Yeah, so the podcast is funny. I know it sounds funny, but I totally believe the Lord gave me the title of the podcast. Okay. And like you said, it's called Bedroom Talks. That's the main title. The subtitle is Get Financially Intimate. And the premise behind this podcast is that we don't, like we talked about in the beginning, we don't talk about finances enough, right? Yeah. The reason why? Our parents didn't talk about it. They didn't talk about it because that generation just didn't talk about their problems. You weren't supposed to. It was what happens in this house stays in this house.
Yeah.
Meant to be seen and not heard.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. But you think also that their mindsets at that generation is also where the parents will take care of it so that we don't have to put the burden on the kids. Right. And so that's how I felt, you know, my parents always wanted, they were the ones that were going to take care of it.
Yeah. I think that was definitely a big part of it. And I think there was, maybe you mentioned earlier, maybe there was a piece of an embarrassment there, and there could have been like a, you know, we'll take care of it. We'll handle it. Don't share this with anybody else because we don't want them to know what we're struggling with. And that's where it comes into what happens is in this house stays in this house, because it's a very sensitive topic, right? And that's the unique thing about the title of my podcast and the premise of what I talk about on there. Like the bedroom is the most intimate place in your house. When people come over to your house, you don't let just everybody in your bedroom. Now, if it's brand new and it's actually nice and neat or whatever, you may kind of show them what it looks like or whatever, depending on who it is. But outside of that, you've been there for a couple of years. It's probably the messiest place in your house. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Being honest, you know, drawers are probably open with head clothes half hanging out. The laundry's piled up in the corner. You know, the bathroom's usually off the master bath. Master bathroom's probably off the master bedroom. And who knows what that looks like? Makeup everywhere, you know, right? We don't want a lot of people in
the cramming room, right?
Because it's messy.
Yes. You have a tendency of taking stuff from your living room that's in the floor, on the floor, wherever, and you go into in your bedroom.
Exactly. Right. Well, the thing is, the finances are the same way. Yeah. Are fine, especially if we're not really looking at it regularly.
Yeah.
We're not sitting down and, you know, every week and kind of reevaluating, but updating like our budget tracker and, you know, checking everything once a month to make sure that we're still on track and, you know, addressing our goals and trying to pay off the debt or whatever. We're not looking at any of that stuff. It's messy, or at least it feels messy. And we don't want to talk about that with other people. We don't want to let other people know, I got this nice, pretty house and I got this great car and maybe my kids are in a good school or, you know, it looks like I have everything together, but really the bottom line is I'm barely making ends meet and I'm crying myself to sleep every night because I'm frustrated by it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? That's the reality of what's going on.
Yeah.
So my idea is that we have to get more intimate in our conversations about finances. You have to be careful of who you have those conversations with, because you can't let everybody in, just like you wouldn't let everybody into your bedroom, right? It's not okay.
Yeah.
If you're married, obviously your number one person to talk to should be your spouse. If you're not talking to your spouse about finances or you feel like you can't, I highly suggest some type of, you know, assistance there, whether it be counseling or a trusted, you know, pastor or something like that. But if you're single, you got to find a trusted friend as well, right? Mm-hmm. So my hope and goal with this podcast is that it would actually cause people to say, you know what, I actually do need to talk about this more. I've never thought about it like that before. Mm-hmm. I've never thought about that topic. Ooh, wow. There's financial education, there's information, and then there's also motivation and encouragement. And they all kind of work together to get people thinking about, you know, hey, I've never actually thought about that. And I do need to talk about this. I do need to look at that. Mm-hmm. But here's the ultimate kicker. Not only is it supposed to help you with improving your finances and becoming financially free, but there's a additional benefit to talking about your finances and getting into a more healthy place with your finances, especially those people who are married. I'm gonna put this out here. this is a thing, and I do talk about a little bit in my intro. If you are married and finances are a strain in your marriage, and you're not talking about it, or when you do talk about it, it's stressful and frustrating, and there's lots of emotions. How healthy do you think your actual physical intimacy is going to be with your partner?
There's going to be a little bit of,
There's going to be, exactly. You're not going to be as willing to want to do certain things, or even hugging, even kissing, even, you know, whatever. Like you may be frustrated with your spouse and you're not going to want to give that physical intimacy in any capacity because there's this tension about the finances. But if there's no more tension in the finances because you're actually talking and you're trying to get on the same page, then the physical intimacy and even the emotional intimacy is going to be better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that point because I would have never thought of that. So, and I love the comparison and the parallel that you've made between the bedroom intimacy and financial intimacy, because there's so there is so much comparison there. That's awesome. That's wonderful. So when is your podcast? When can they join? When can they come in and listen? Do you have one every week? Do you, or, Give him some scoop.
Yeah, so essentially I drop a new episode every Tuesday around 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. I actually just, I was starting guest episodes this past mm-hmm. few months as well. So I was doing Tuesdays is just a simple episode. And then every other Thursday was a guest episode. However, just this past Thursday, I just basically released my last episode for season one, and I will be closing out season one the beginning of next year. I believe it's going to be the second week of the year is where I'm going to go ahead and release the first episode of season two, and it's going to be only on Tuesdays for the most part, and 1 week will be just me a few minutes talking about something, and the next week will be a guest episode where it'll be longer. So just kind of shifting a little bit. It was a lot what I was doing before. Shift to make it easier for me. But there are about, I want to say about 64, 65 episodes currently out right now for season one.
Okay. So they have a little bit of time. Our guests have a little bit of time to go in and catch up with all 63 episodes so that they can be ready for season two. So I'm so excited mm-hmm. for them to be able to do that. So we'll share all of your information so that they can get connected with you. And so I'm really excited about that. I love your advice. Thank you so much for all of your tips today. And I'm so glad that you were able to join us today. And we look forward to just being able to listen to your podcast and be able to follow you and get some wonderful advice and hopefully create some habits, healthy habits, and that mind shift of being able to set goals and be able to take from where we're at and be able to move forward into a healthier financial situation for ourselves. So thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome so much. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on this episode on the Be Inspired God's Way podcast. I want to share with you one of my upcoming events. Join me from April 26th to 28th for a weekend of spiritual renewal and empowerment. Immerse yourself in guided outdoor adventures, soul-nourishing workshops, and uplifting worship sessions. As you journey with me, may you find solace in the knowledge of your identity in Christ and discover the unique calling He has placed on your life. Don't miss out on this sacred opportunity to experience the transformative power of God's love. Reserve your spot today and step into a world of inspiration, community, and endless possibility. Inspired Hope Women's Retreat, where hearts are healed, identities are affirmed, and lives are forever changed by the grace of God.